The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they, the Samaritans, did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. They went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do we have anybody here who grew up in maybe a faith tradition or a church, one of those places where there's no drinking, no dancing, no card playing? Anybody grow up in one of those churches? Oh, wow. I'm seeing a head nod. Okay. I have a friend who grew up in a church, and he was so excited, a church like that, he was so excited when they moved when he was a kid to a church, because this church was very progressive. They did allow dancing at his second church. But he tells the story about how when they'd be at a church dance, the chaperones would walk around with Bibles, and they would literally like send them between kids dancing, and they would say, "Leave room for the Holy Spirit," and they would pass a Bible between kids. Leave room for the Holy Spirit. I love that. This same friend was glad to tell me that in his adult life he finally made a change. He said, "I became Lutheran because I wanted to drink beer." So, Lutherans, we don't really very much go in for things like no dancing, no drinking, no card playing, right? We're okay with these things. And sometimes in this reading that Lori read, from Paul, from Galatians, we almost get this like list of things. Don't do this. Don't do this. Drunkenness, carousing, don't do this. As if that is the whole of who we are as Christians, right? As if the whole of our tradition is a list of things not to do. And I do think that Paul is saying, leave room for the Holy Spirit, but not in that kind of way we have to pass a Bible in between two dancing kids. I think Paul is saying, when you live your life with room for the Holy Spirit in your soul, in your being, we get these beautiful fruits. We get peace, gentleness, kindness. Those things, those are the savory things to really enjoy. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I always feel like I'm telling stories about myself, and y'all have to just beg my forgiveness for that. But one of the reasons I tell stories about myself is because they're the only stories I know. So y'all have to help me know some more stories here. But sometimes there's a danger in telling stories about a pastor and getting a call that we have this impression that the Holy Spirit only works in pastors, and that's not true. In fact, Martin Luther was very, very clear on this. The Holy Spirit calls all people to all things. So the Holy Spirit, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're a teacher, you're a stay-at-home parent. The Holy Spirit has called you to this work. And that's as valid a call, and probably more valid than being a pastor. But one of the stories that I have about my own kind of struggle with this leaving room for the Holy Spirit has to do with my call to this church, actually, at a time where I was not leaving room for the Holy Spirit. And for me, the thing that always kind of sucks up the room from the Holy Spirit in my own kind of life is my need to control things. My desire to just sort of have my hands in everything, to write, like, I alone can do this. Like, I live with somebody whose shoes I have to tie. No names here. But sometimes when I bend over to tie his shoes, he swats my hand away and he says, I can do it myself. And I think, ah, there I am. Yeah, I can do it myself. I know that feeling very well. I call that ego, right? I can do it myself. So in my call to this church, if you didn't know, Becky and I were co-pastors at this place called Holden Village. We served there for a year. We left to have our son Elijah. We came down. We had him, and our agreement was, okay, we're going to have about 2 months of maternity, paternity time, and then I, Marcus, I would jump back into a call process. And I was just 100% certain that the thing that I was called to next was being a pastor in the Pacific Northwest. I was so sure of this. And so our 2 months of maternity time went past. We were living on savings, but God was good. We had been provided for. We had these friends who rented us out an apartment above their garage. I mean, it was a dream. We were surrounded by good friends and mountains, and it was wonderful. But I was like that, like, I can do it myself, right? So the 2 months ended, and I jumped back into the call process. I filled out my paperwork, and I sent it to the bishops. And I didn't just send it. Like, I pestered all of the 7 bishops in Region 1 in the Pacific Northwest. I'd call them every day. I'd call an assistant. I'd send out emails. Hey, did you get my paperwork? Tell me about the churches you have. Tell me about this. And I was just moving this thing along. And I didn't necessarily break any rules. It's okay to be, a proponent of yourself. That's okay. But I can't really say that I was leaving room for the Holy Spirit. It was this, I can do it myself sort of attitude. I've got to do this. I'm going to be called to the Northwest. I'm going to do this. And that yielded nothing. It yielded no fruit except for, I think, some of the fruits that Paul's talking about in Galatians. Anger, strife, enmity, jealousy. Jealousy, whenever I'd hear a friend get a call to a church in the Northwest, I thought, that should have been mine. That should have been me. And a couple months into this time, our pastor called me into the office with Becky. His wife was looking after Elijah while he napped. And he said, what's going on? You know, how are y'all doing? And I just exploded, like, okay, well, I'm trying to do this, and I'm calling the bishops. They stopped returning my calls. How could this be? And he said, you know, Marcus, I think you need to leave room for the Holy Spirit on this. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I think you should take a month. Step back. When somebody calls you about a call, you just got to say, you know what? I'm going to spend a month in prayer and in quiet. And I remember sitting in front of my pastor. Maybe y'all have done this in a pastor's office. I said, oh, that sounds great. And then on the car ride home, I said, I am not doing that. That's terrible. No way. Right? I can do it myself. How dare you tell me what I have to do? And maybe it was because I was yielding this crop of fruit that tasted bitter to my wife, right? This anger, frustration that I was generating in our marriage. But somehow by the end of the day, and I'll skip over maybe what happened, but somehow by the end of the day, I had agreed that we were going to take a month, and that I was going to step back, and I was going to spend all the time during the day that I had been spending to send emails, I was going to spend that time in prayer. And so a month went by, and people did give me phone calls. You know, I have this church, I have this, and I kept true to my word. I said, you know what, I'll talk to you at the end of this month. I'm spending some time in prayer. They said, okay, we'll call you. So the end of the month came. And I went back to my pastor's office, and he said, okay, how'd it go? And I said, it went great, but here's what I'm thinking next. Okay, so I'm going to call this person. And he said, oh, it sounds like you're still doing that thing, that control thing. I said, I'm not. He said, how about another month? And I said, no way. I finally told him, no. And he said, how about 2 weeks? I said, okay, 2 more weeks. And I don't know what it is that makes us think that we have to control things. I know for me, as a parent, as a new parent, I just wanted to provide, right? I just wanted to make sure that we had health insurance. I just wanted to make sure that we had an income and that we had a savings account at the end of this paternity time. But in that, I was bearing this fruit that was not good. I mean, it was really kind of ugly, bitter stuff. But something finally, in these last 2 weeks, something finally got in. And this is, I think, part of our gospel today, is that it doesn't matter what fruits we are bearing. God doesn't stop watering us. God doesn't stop trying to nourish us. And like water in a tiny, tiny crack, somehow the Holy Spirit ended up wedging itself in there and finally cracking open that need inside of me to control everything. And at the end of that 2 weeks, I looked at Becky and we sort of said to each other, maybe we've been going about this all wrong. Maybe God is calling us to something different. What if we opened ourselves to churches beyond the Northwest? That feels okay. And so we did. And now I'm here. Last place I thought I would be. I thought for sure I wouldn't go to Southern California. I would have scoffed at that earlier in the year. But this is the stuff. And I can tell you, here in this place, I have experienced the fruit of the Spirit, right? Kindness, gentleness, joy. I mean, Elijah came to church with me, and I said, hey, Dusty, can you sit with Elijah? And he said, yeah, absolutely. That's Dusty. That's gentleness. That's joy. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So that when we leave room, for the Spirit, it's not that God is telling us, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's that God says to us, I want you to experience this life that I have for you. And that the good news is that despite our control, despite what we try, God doesn't give up on us. God doesn't stop nourishing us. You don't even have to go into 6 weeks of prayer. God won't give up. Thanks be to God. Amen.